Welcome to another episode of Disrupt. I'm Bailey Bryant with Home Healthcare News. We're about to jump into my conversation with Andrea Castellanos. She's the Executive Vice President and Chief of Provider Services at the Visiting Nurse Service of New York, or VNSNY. But first, I want to give a shout out to our podcast sponsor, Homecare Homebase. Their powerful cloud-based home health software streamlines virtually every aspect of your business. Spend less time on paperwork and more time delivering quality care to your patients. Visit hchb.com for more information. As I mentioned, our guest today is Andrea Castellanos. After 28 years at New York Presbyterian Hospital, Castellanos joined VNSNY in October. VNSNY is 125 years old, making it one of the largest and oldest nonprofit home and community-based health organizations in the country. In total, the provider serves more than 33,000 patients per day. Now, with Castellanos at the helm, the organization is navigating a whole new set of challenges, from preparing for PDGM to managing managed care relationships. I recently sat down with Castellanos to discuss those and other headwinds, along with the future of VNSNY, which she says entails tackling social determinants of health, value-based contracts, and technology. Hi, Andrea. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Bailey. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we've got a lot of ground to cover today, but I want to start by talking about your background. You've been in the home healthcare space for several years now, but you're relatively new to VNSNY. You joined the team about 6 months ago after you spent 28 years at New York Presbyterian Hospital. What inspired you to switch gears and what attracted you to VNSNY?
Well, when I was at the hospital, I actually ran three hospitals at New York Presbyterian. And my interface and interaction with the home care industry was always very important to me as a leader in the hospital side of the industry. So when I stepped out of the hospital industry and was thinking about my next steps, the home care space was really natural for me. When I was working at the hospital, I realized how important it was for our patients to have really smooth transition with really expert staff to take care of them once they left the hospital. And so again, it was a very natural transition for me, and I'm very excited and happy to be in the home care space.
Right. Now, speaking of transitions, how has your transition into the new role been?
I think my transition to my new role has gone very smoothly. I was really lucky to inherit a very experienced leadership team at VNSNY for all the lines of business that I'm responsible for, which include our certified home health agency, our licensed home health agency, our hospice, our mental health services, and population health. And I'm really lucky enough to work with what I think are the best and brightest people in the field. And in many respects, I sort of came into what I refer to as the dream team. So I think in that respect, I've been very lucky. I think my understanding of the hospital business and the referrers and their needs and priorities has been very beneficial to VNSNY. And seeing home care through this different lens has really rounded out my knowledge and my experience. And I think it will really, in the long run, help me be a better and more strategic leader. My biggest surprise when I came into this role was the depth and breadth of services that VNSNY offers, as well as the size and complexity of the organization.
Right. VNSNY is a unique organization in that it's been around for 125 years. It has this large research arm. It really has this special legacy. So when you came into this role, how did you really draw on that legacy and add to it with your background and keeping the legacy alive, but also keeping the organization relevant today?
Well, when I stepped into the organization, it was a really pivotal time in the organization. We were in the process of finalizing our strategic plan I've had a lot of experience in executing strategic plans in my life as operating in the hospital world. And so I was able to really work with my teams to develop a very solid roadmap of execution of our strategic plan. And just very briefly, we had sort of seven pillars of the strategic plan, which was to launch and expand our care management enterprise, to strengthen and grow all of the lines of business that we have as a provider, to strengthen and grow our managed long-term care products, to enhance our member and patient experience, and to improve employee engagement and culture, to strengthen our community support and awareness, and of course, to ensure our financial stability as an organization. And so these were goals that I was very comfortable with executing. And with my team, we really put together what I believe is a very strong roadmap of execution. So we are in the process of moving along that path as we speak.
How are you going about achieving those goals?
So we're achieving these goals through what I would say is a very strategic way. And we've divided our entire company into 12 work streams. And each work stream has teams associated with it that are responsible for executing really the tactics and the strategies of the strategic plan. So these 12 teams have a cadence of reporting out their successes, their opportunities, and their failures and to the executive leadership here. And so we really trend and track where we are with each of these work streams that are aligned directly with our strategic plan. It's a very focused effort, and we are managing through metrics and through, you know, we can actually see our success as we move along, as we move along this road.
Awesome. As I mentioned, VNSNY is really big on research. I think over the past 30 years, the organization has spent somewhere in the realm of $65 million on research. Talk about why that's so important as a part of your business and any interesting home health research you guys are doing currently.
Yeah, it's really remarkable. I don't think there is another home care organization in the world, I dare say the world, that has spent this amount of money focused on research. Just to give you a brief history, this was really the idea of Carol Raphael, who was the CEO at the time that the research center was created. And it was implemented by Dr. Penny Feldman, who was the center's director for about 20 years. So there are lots of interesting research studies that we're involved in. One of them is an infection control in home care and predictive risk modeling study. And the objective of that research, or it's ongoing right now, is to, first of all, we're collaborating with Columbia University School of Nursing. And the objective is to address the knowledge gaps of infection control practices in the home care space and to test and to explore the use of predictive risk modeling techniques to identify patients with high risk for infection. So the team is currently synthesizing this data on observations from the field, and there were over 400 observations in the field. We believe this will be the largest study to date in home care. It'll be published, and hopefully, our hope is that we will be able to develop predictive models for high-risk patients for infection, and we'll also be able to understand the infection control practices that actually happen in the home. So that's one example of important, really important research that's going on in our research center.
Definitely. I think it's in line with the goal of home health care in general, just getting ahead of any serious health problems. And it sounds like that research is doing that.
I'm also interested to talk about some of the headwinds facing your organization. Dan Savitt, Executive Vice President and CFO of VNSNY, recently told us at our Capital and Strategy event in DC that managed care is sort of a headwind for you guys. Can you elaborate on that and talk about the challenges and opportunities that it presents for your organization?
Sure. I think this is a really important moment for home health care in our city and in the country. So the penetration of Medicare managed care in New York is very high compared to many parts of the country, but the rest of the country is going to experience more and more penetration as time goes on. And at first, when Medicare managed care entered the market as a product, home health care typically negotiated a visit rate. And as years went by, that rate didn't keep up with our costs. So over time, we were able to negotiate some case rates with managed care companies. And then over time, we were able to negotiate some value-based arrangements associated with our ability to deliver on quality and cost. The challenge today is to work with all of our managed care partners to turn our inadequate visit rate into a case rate with shared risk. And that's really the challenge. And so we really have to move from a visit mentality to a case rate mentality to a shared risk mentality. And so we're on this continuum working, trying to work very closely with our managed care partners to sort of shift the mindset of how we can be partners with them and how valuable our services could be from a quality standpoint and a cost standpoint.
And why is changing that mindset so important?
Well, changing that mindset is important from everybody's perspective. It's important from the patient's perspective, because if we improve quality, we can improve the care that they're receiving. It's important to hospitals, because if we can help to decrease hospital readmissions, if we can help to decrease emergency room visits, if we can help to improve on infection rates, right? Hospitals will just have better CMS scores and ratings, and their patients' quality will improve as well. It's important to insurance companies because their costs will go down, and that's what they're looking for. So it's really the trifecta. It's good for everyone, and it's good for us because right now, the rate that we're getting is really unsustainable for us. We have to shift the paradigm of how we get paid in the market because the penetration of managed care is so high in New York. And so that's sort of, it's good, 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 and good for everyone.
In that same vein, speaking of headwinds, how is VNSNY preparing for the patient-driven groupings model?
Well, we, along with, I think, all of the home care companies across the entire country, are really focusing on this effort. So earlier I talked about the work streams, right? How are we driving change in the organization? We have a dedicated work stream associated with PDGM or patient-driven grouping models. And that work stream consists of a series of work groups to address our concerns about PDGM or possible concerns about PDGM. So first, we're educating all of our teams, including our field staff, as to what this new paradigm, this new payer model is for under PDGM. Our analytics and operations teams have been analyzing our data and looking at simulations of how we're going to perform under PDGM. Our teams are determining areas where we need to improve and areas of opportunity, right? And we're assessing the competencies and strengths and weaknesses of our teams who are going to really be able to impact PDGM. So, for example, we're looking very closely at our coders and our coding team to see where they fit into the operations. Do they fit in on the back end or on the front end? And do they have the right competencies to be successful under this new paradigm? We're also working with our electronic medical record vendor to understand the functionality that they're going to provide to us to help us manage PDGM. And our finance teams are looking and working hard to understand and plan for any cash flow implications associated with this model. It's important for us to understand the implications of going from a 60-day payment unit to a 30-day payment unit. And then understanding the new LUPA, low utilization payment adjustment criteria, is going to be very important, and we're working on that. And of course, we continue to work with our advocacy groups to try to influence the final legislation associated with the rollout. Our clinical focus will always continue to be on quality and outcomes with effective visit utilization. That's the bottom line. So lots of work going on in this area. Very important to stay focused on this. And it is one of our very important series of work that's going on at DNSNY.
Right. Do you expect it'll change how you operate? Obviously, you talked about changes to how you code, your finance team, but I'm expecting at the base level, you still want to provide the same level of care to all your patients.
Yes, absolutely. We will always provide the same level of care and the necessary level of care to all of our patients, right, to get quality outcomes. That's always our primary goal. Under PDGM, though, we need to understand what information do we need? Does it need to be different information? It's much more important to get all the diagnoses now up front, right? We want to make sure that we get all the clinical information that we need to get to optimize our reimbursement, because if we don't get the right information up front, we could be missing out on appropriate reimbursement based on what we do. So I don't anticipate that we're going to be taking care of patients differently, but the information to support what we're doing is likely to be a little bit different than what we've done in the past. And where sort of the coders fit into this and how we get information on intake, those things will need to be really looked at to make sure we're optimizing how we are doing business.
Okay. Now let's talk about fair scheduling. This is something that's been proposed in New York. Is it something that's on VNSNY's radar? Generally, what are your thoughts on this trend, which says basically caregivers or any sort of worker has to receive their schedule a certain number of days in advance, and any changes that you make to that schedule afterward could mean having to pay those caregivers a higher amount? What are your thoughts on that and how it could affect the home-based care industry?
Yeah, so, this is a trend around the country where legislation in many states has been introduced around fair scheduling. And we at VNSNY think that this would be very detrimental to the home care industry. The home care industry is often urgent and emergent in nature. And it's very difficult for us to have predictable schedules. Patients are discharged from hospitals with sometimes hours of notice. They're admitted to hospitals or readmitted to hospitals with hours of notice or minutes, right? They have an emergency situation. They go into a hospital. Maybe they were under our care. So tomorrow, we don't need to take care of them in the home. And so it is impossible for the home care industry to schedule workers 2 weeks in advance or schedule staff 2 weeks in advance with great accuracy. And so we think that if this legislation were to pass in our state, which it did not last year, but it has passed in other states around the country, we think this would be very, very detrimental to the home care industry in our state.
Definitely an issue to watch. forward-looking, what do you think the future holds for VNSNY, whether it's goals or priorities for the year ahead and beyond?
So I am very optimistic for the future of VNSNY. I think our future is very, very bright. In the future, I think that we will take a more holistic view of our patients. We do that now, but I think it's even going to get greater. We need to really understand who they are, where and how they live. We need to understand their emotional and physical health needs. And the integration and management of both the medical and mental health will be very important in assessing and understanding the social determinants of health. So understanding a patient's economic stability, their neighborhood that they come from, the physical environment they live in, their education, their literacy, their food adequacy, their community and social context, and the relationship to the healthcare system will be really critical for us. We've always been good at this, and our goal is to be great at this, because if you don't understand the wholeness of the patient, you really can't take care of that patient in the best way. So I think that in the future, for sure, as I talked about earlier, we're going to have more value-based contracts with payers and providers. And in the future, we will take more and more financial risk with our partners. In the future, we're going to be more involved with chronic care management. And because of the size and strength that we have in data analytics, we can more accurately and we'll be able to more accurately identify patients using risk stratification scores who would benefit from a different level of care. And so our data analytics will help us know this perhaps before we see it. In the future, I think we're going to have to be more proactive with our patients and less reactive with our patients. And our goal has always been to provide the right amount of care at the right time with empathy, skill, and compassion. And I think that we can't forget the empathy part, the skill part, and the compassion part. Just a few other comments on the future. I think it'll involve more technology solutions that'll help us manage our patients better and stay connected to our patients even when we're not in the home. And I think in the future, we're going to have a more creative offerings like with our partners, like hospitalization at home, which offers high-tech care in the home and avoids hospital stays. So I think there's going to be a lot of change and shift and disruption in the future.
Well, that leads me to my final question. Of course, this podcast is called Disrupt. So we always like to ask people, how do you define disruption in the industry and where does your organization fit in?
So, you know, disruption in the industry isn't like an atomic bomb, right? It's not going to happen overnight, but it is and will happen over time. And I think over the next 2 years, we're going to see a lot of change in the industry. We talked a little about the use of technology, but we're going to use technology that allows us, again, to be in touch with our patients, even when we're not in the home. And I love that idea. So when we walk out of the home, we can still stay connected. We're going to use technology that allows us to significantly decrease our operating costs. So, for example, we are introducing technology for all of our home health aides to schedule all of their shifts online and to document their care online. And so we avoid all of the phone calls and the changes in the schedules and the pieces of paper that are coming from the home health aides that then have to get into a system. I think the use of data analytics will allow us to know, again, when a patient may benefit from a higher and different level of care. I said that already in the past, but I don't think we can discount how important using data to drive decisions on populations is going to be in the future. You know, shifting our business, a visit rate to a case rate, and sharing both upside and downside risk with our providers will potentially be disruptive to the industry as a whole. and hopefully it'll be beneficial to the industry as a whole. Programs, you know, introducing these new programs that I talked about, hospital at home, community paramedicine, getting home safe programs, taking our staff and upskilling them, right? Giving them certain education that makes them more effective in what they're doing in the home is going to be important. And then the creation of special programs that try to adjust either various populations or various clinical conditions is going to be important. And an example of that is our company-wide effort to identify sepsis before the patient gets critically ill. And so those are just some examples of what I think are going to be exciting disruptions in the industry.
Definitely. Well, Andrea, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure talking to you today.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Disrupt. For more news and insights on the home health, home care, and hospice industries, subscribe to our daily or weekly newsletters. You can do that at homehealthcarenews.com. I'm Bailey Bryant, and this has been a production of Aging Media Network out of Chicago, Illinois.